Hello.
Hi, everybody.
That's Liz over there.
And that's Sarah.
I'm a Catholic.
And I'm a witch.
And let's get started. My friend Madeline had a laundry list of questions that she wanted me to ask you. Some of them I feel like are more complicated than others, but so this is a simple one, maybe, I don't know. She asked, what's your favorite holiday, like your favorite like Sabbath, and how do you celebrate it?
Again, this is going to make me sound like a terrible witch. My favorite is Yule, but I celebrate it like fucking Christmas, like everybody else.
Well, yeah.
I just really love Christmas time. And to make my Christmas tree a little bit more like Yule-y, I put like bells and stuff on it instead of like snowflakes and things like that.
Why bells?
I love bells. I love bells so much. And I've been obsessed with them since I was younger. Have I ever told you the story about when I stole the bell from my babysitter and I'd lied to my dad about it?
Yes, you did tell me.
Yeah, I've been obsessed with bells since I was really, really little. But I love things that make noise, and I think it has something to do with spirits. I've only ever slightly looked into it. And I have this set of... I forget what they're called. It's like this rattle that's made out of like old beans or whatever. But I think you can use it to like scare off spirits and things. Mm. But yeah, I've always just associated bells with like spirits, and I don't know why. Just when I was little, like those two things were just super tied together in my head. It's just bells or ghosts. They just have to do with one another. So I put bells on my tree because, again, intuition, it just made like complete sense to me. It's like this holiday needs bells on my tree.
Yeah.
But I just love Yule Christmas time because it's like the warmest holiday to me. And I think it's like the holiday that people like don't forget. I mean, we don't have a lot of like really commercialized holidays, and we've had holidays that got co-opted by other things. Like Samhain has been commercialized really heavily into Halloween, but
yeah, I think that was our fault. Sorry.
Yeah. But like nobody knows what Beltane is. Nobody knows what Astara is. Nobody knows what Imbolc is. But like Yule and Christmas, I still feel like are very close to one another, like the feasting and the family and the abundance that like even the commercial like idea of it is still like similar enough to Yule that it has the same kind of vibes and spirit.
That makes sense. And I actually think a lot of modern people are closer to celebrating the pagan version than the Christian version when they celebrate it,
which like is giving like each other gifts and stuff. Like it's just so pagan.
Yeah. Which is not a bad thing. I don't mean that as like a criticism. It's just like a fact. Like most people who celebrate Christmas do not celebrate the birth of Christ.
Yeah. It's very much this commercial kind of idea, and the commercial idea I think is much closer to the pagan idea of the holiday than it is the Christian idea of the holiday. Because I mean, even Santa is more like kind of a folklore-ish figure than he is a Christian one.
Yes.
Christmas trees are pagan, gift giving and like the feasting and everything, that's all pagan. So
yeah, I don't think that's bad. What I think is bad is when like people pretend to be Christian when they celebrate Christmas, you know? I think that's annoying.
Jesus is the reason for the season. And that is why we are gathered here today.
Jason, have you seen that TikTok of it's like the wedding vows of the girl who bullied you in high school?
Is that the wasp mom?
Jason.
Yes.
I love her video so much.
She's so funny.
Morning.
If she doesn't get an acting career because of TikTok, then we have messed up as a society.
She needs to be on SNL.
Yes. She's brilliant.
Yes.
The wedding vows are like, Jason. If you would have told me a year and a half ago that the man taking my order at Outback Steakhouse would one day be my husband, I wouldn't have believed you. Everything about it is so good. It's infuriating.
She released one, I think it was today, about Mother's Day, and it fucking killed me.
I need to go look at that.
It's so funny. I love her videos.
Yeah, she's so good.
Good, good.
I feel like this might be related to confirmation, but I don't know and I don't want to assume. Mm-hmm. At what point do you get to take like the Eucharist, and why do you have to wait? Because I know you have to wait because we've talked about
that's
that.
That's the sacrament. I forgot. How could I forget that? Out. I'm so dumb.
But the reason I ask is, like, I don't even remember how it works in the Baptist church either. I just remember that I was never allowed to take anything from the fancy plate of, like, shot glasses that they had that they passed around. Also, I don't know how it works in the Catholic church. Is it a plate of shot glasses that they pass around?
Okay, so I actually do know the answer to all of these things, so I'm excited. Okay, so... The Eucharist is another sacrament. That would be your next sacrament after reconciliation, because the idea of the Eucharist is that you're supposed to have like a pure heart when you receive it. So in order to be able to receive it, you have to be able to go to confession. So it's the next in line after that. Usually you're like 7 years old, because that was determined to be the age where you have full like reason. Which is kind of a joke, because when you're 7, you clearly don't. But like, you have an understanding about what is actually going on when you're that age. So normally you'd be in Sunday school and you'd be talking about it with your teacher. And then there's a whole big ceremony about it. And you wear a white dress, or if you're a boy, you wear like a suit. Because it symbolizes a wedding, because, you know, whatever, like you're marrying Jesus, like a nun does. And so that would be your first time. And then, so the people in church who don't receive the Eucharist, what they'll do is they'll go up and they'll put their arms across their chest like this, because it's not a plate of shot glasses. We go up and we receive it like directly from the priest or from another Eucharistic minister. Sometimes it's like a deacon, or sometimes it's just whoever. I was a Eucharistic minister for a couple years before I went away to college. It was very stressful for me. I did not do very well. I mean, like, I would accidentally touch people's tongues, like I almost dropped it a bunch of times because I was so stressed out. Like, my hand was shaking the body of Christ and it's like shaking violently. And they're like, are you okay? No, it was stressful for me. But so we'll go up, a song is playing, like the body of Christ song or whatever. And you go up and you do a little bow. And you either like open your mouth or you hold out your hands in a cradle and you get it. And then you get some wine, the blood, obviously. And then you go back to your seat. It's not a big deal. But so I was actually curious about like why we do it that way instead of like the shot glass situation. And I guess it's because in other Christian traditions, the idea of a mediator between yourself and God is more like, it's not as much of a thing.
Yeah.
So it's okay to give yourself communion, whereas in Catholicism, it's not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Does that answer it?
It's a lot more direct, because especially when you were talking about like confession and like the trend away from it, it sounded like the Protestant kind of way that I grew up with, that it's like, yeah, just pray for forgiveness. You have like a direct relationship with God, obviously. Yeah. So yeah,
and we've seen like in the podcast how like different saints have had personal relationships with God and like mystical relationships, but because they're Catholic, like that doesn't negate the like priestly authority. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then I was curious to know how it went because, yeah, growing up, I always just knew it as like the plate of shot glasses that went around.
Yeah. So in order to take a shot, you would have to have your first communion and everything.
You have to be at least 7 years old.
I don't know if you have to be seven, but like that's the age grouping. I don't know if it's 7 years old in particular, but you would do it in like second grade. I remember bits and pieces of my first communion. I remember thinking, this tastes terrible. The wine in particular, I was like, this tastes like horrible. Like, why do people like this? LOL at me now. Just chugging wine whenever I get a moment's peace. Okay, Madeline had a question particularly about crystals.
Okay.
She is wondering about charging them and if there's a difference between sunlight and moonlight.
Again, I don't know a lot about like the text and stuff behind all of this. So I'm going to go off of like my vague knowledge about this. The first thing that I can say is that some crystals can't be charged in the sunlight because it's not good for them.
Okay.
Like it'll take the color out of them and stuff in the same way that you can't cleanse some crystals by running them underneath water because they're water soluble.
Awkward.
Yeah. And like, I had some crystals that are like water soluble that like I would cleanse them in the moonlight because that's like the only way that I could cleanse them mm-hmm. is the only option available to me. But I know that you might charge crystals in different ways depending on like what you need them for.
Oh.
We have holidays that are based around like the sun. If that you may want to charge those in the sun, if it has something to do with spell work that we're, you know, we have a sun-based holiday.
Oh.
But if we have something that's like lunar-based, then we might, you know, charge them in the moon. And this is like my intuition speaking that obviously I wouldn't want to use like sun-charged crystals for like a moon spell. That wouldn't make sense to me. They would have the wrong energy.
Okay.
So, and like the sun and the moon have very different energies too, that the sun is, you know, life and growth and plants and all mm-hmm. of this stuff. And the moon is more mystery and darkness and like love and all of this. So I would like charge that way to use for things like dreams and, more of that kind of thing. But I would say that it comes down to intention of what you're going for. I would say that it can come down to maybe the particular crystal that you're working with too, because not all crystals have the same properties. So if you're mm-hmm. working with a lot of like dream-based psychic crystals, you may not want to sun charge those. You may want to give them like night energy.
Okay.
And then again, just like the actual like physical properties of like the crystal itself may just not agree to being like sat in the sun or like yeah. run underwater or something.
Yeah. You accidentally dissolve it. Okay.
It's like the raccoon dipping the cotton candy in the water.
I was just thinking about that. Why are you reading my mind? I don't love it. That's another example.
Yes.
Yeah, that sad raccoon with his cotton candy. Mm-hmm. Poor baby. There's this really fat raccoon around here that I keep feeding. And Chris is like, he doesn't need to be fed anymore. He's gigantic. And I'm like, I would die for him. So,
my turn, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. You already answered that one. I asked if you believed in purgatory. And you do. Is it difficult to become a Catholic if you are not born into the religion? Because I always grew up being taught that it was like this really closed off community that was like full of rules. And so I was just like, that's just a thing for people who are Catholics and nobody else.
No. So what you'll do if you are an adult who wants to convert, what you'll do is basically you'll just take a class. And then you'll be baptized and confirmed on Easter. They have these classes every single year at every single parish in the world. Like there's a parish everywhere you go and they all have these classes for that purpose. I don't think it's particularly hard. I've never done it, obviously. but if it's something that you wanted to do, like you truly wanted to, I know that there are some people who convert who don't want to. Like if they're getting married into a big Catholic family, a lot of people will be pressured to convert. I think that's horrible. I think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes me really sad to think about. But if you want to do it, it won't be difficult. At most, I believe it would take like a few months, just going to some classes and then basically, you're cramming all your Sunday school into like a couple meetings. So, and they're just designed to figure out like, oh, do I agree with this or do I not want to do it?
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then on Easter Vigil, there's like a midnight mass because it's like, it's tradition for like you to be baptized and confirmed like as the sun is rising on Easter morning. So it's pretty cool. I've never actually been to an Easter Vigil Mass, but they seem cool.
Yeah, I was always curious because I switched churches a lot as a kid, but it's just like you just showed up to a different church and like, they're just like, okay, just find a seat.
I mean, you can definitely show up to Mass if you're not Catholic. You could totally do that. Nobody would know. Like you just
I am a secret non-Catholic.
Yeah. And then like you either just don't go up for the Eucharist or you just do the little crossed arms thing and the priest will like give you a blessing and you're on your way. Like nobody's at the door being like, do you belong here? You know,
checking my ID for some symbol.
Yeah, no, there's none of that.
There's a bouncer.
No, if Catholicism was a secret society, it would be the lamest secret society in the entire world. Like, there's nothing secretive happening at all. Like, they desperately want people to join. Like, it's kind of embarrassing how desperate they are, but okay. Yeah, it's not that secretive. I mean, it would be cooler if it were, but it's not. Madeline asked, is there a tool for doing a vibe check or sending good vibes?
This is gonna come down to like the individual witch, I guess, and how they do magic. Me working with energy, I'm gonna do that like all kind of internally. I don't really need any tools to do it. So
yeah,
I run into a person, I'm just gonna like feel out your vibes myself, or I can like send just like vibes to people. But in the same way, I can attach things to people to send them good vibes, like the way that I did like the spell bottles for you and Ashley and Hannah, that I can take like my good energy and attach it to something and then give it to you.
Yeah.
And not every witch is going to do that the same way. I'm an intrinsic witch. So somebody who works with crystals is going to do that different. Somebody who works with deities really heavily might pray to their gods and goddesses for like intuition about people or to send like good health or anything to people.
Mm-hmm.
People who work with herbs and stuff in the kitchen. I mean, it's going to look different, like based on the witch. No one's going to do it exactly the same.
That makes sense. And so it really is all about just like, I don't know, when you were talking, I was thinking like, so it's gift giving, it's like intuition, like It's just, it's a way of life. Like, it's not something that you're like, oh, I do this on Sundays and then I live my life however I want the rest of the week. It's like a complete part of life.
Mm-hmm. It's like half of your life. It's when you wake up, when you go to the grocery store, when you cook, when you watch TV, when you're on Facebook. Because I mean, I can literally scroll Facebook, and in the same way that people call for like thoughts and prayers, you can pray for somebody in the same way that I can send out good energy for mm-hmm. somebody. It's the same kind of process.
Yeah.
There's Which just is, not like a formal prayer.
Right. Which is so funny, because in like pop culture and stuff, like I'm in particular thinking of the movie Snow White because I just watched it. But there's this whole thing where the queen has to go down into the dungeon and open her book and like make the poison apple and like that kind of thing. Like, it's separate from her daily life, like her witchcraft, you know? I don't know.
And most of us, like, if we do have altars, they're in like the middle of our houses, and they're just, it's not like they have like their own back room or they're in a closet or something where no one can see them. Like, they,
you don't have a dungeon in your house?
No.
I feel lied to.
Most of the people I know keep them in like the dining room or a side room or like their bedroom, and they're usually like heavily on display. Yeah. And they go to a lot of effort to decorate them. And I mean, like, when they've got a holiday coming up, it's not like I set aside like one day to decorate this thing. It's like, oh, I found like this while I was on my walk, and I found this at the store just throughout like the month, and they just continue to decorate the altar. So
yeah,
like, it's just like an everyday kind of thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Another kind of personal question, like an opinion kind of question. Mm-hmm. Do you consider Catholics to be strict? Because this is another thing that I was taught, in the same way that like they're closed off and like secretive and full of secrets, just these weird secret people. I was taught that Catholics were very strict, but I was mostly taught that framed around my own family, because my German Catholic great-great-grandparents are like, oh yes, they were Catholic and they were so strict. And it's like, okay, so Catholics are secret and they're strict.
I think it kind of depends on the people. I think that some Catholics definitely are, but it's funny that you said that, because I generally consider other Christian denominations to be stricter. Like, that's, there are some where women can't wear pants or cut their hair, and nobody can drink alcohol.
Yeah, my grandma got kicked out of a church because she wouldn't wear a dress.
Like, and that's on what? It's based on, like, one line in Deuteronomy that says women shouldn't wear men's clothing. It doesn't even mention pants. Like, who thought of that, you know? Like, so there are things about Catholicism that are stricter than other Christian denominations, but I would say generally Catholics are like more easygoing than like fundamentalist religions. So I guess it depends like who you ask.
But it's really interesting to kind of think about that, because it makes me think about like my entire experience of going to like church in a different way, mm-hmm. because I was definitely taught that like, oh, we have potlucks and hay rides and like days where we play games and raise money for the church. We're so laid back compared to the Catholics and their weird, strict masses where they
we're laid back enough that we don't have any of those things. Because we don't give a shit. No, we do have like fundraisers and stuff, like bake sales or whatever, but it's not. That's so funny. No, we're not out like planning all these elaborate things. We want to go home and like watch football or whatever. Like, we don't have time.
Church is like your life. It is 85% of your personality. It's where all your friends and family are at. It's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, but I think that's like more for older Catholic people.
That's like just Protestants in my experience. That's the way that they raise their kids to be, and the young kids. And I mean, it got to the, when I was in junior high, like the kids that I knew, they're like, oh, I can't go like hang out on Wednesday. I have Sunday school that night.
Yeah. I mean, there's little things like that, but I don't think, I don't know, maybe I'm like speaking out of turn, but in my personal experience, there was Sunday school or like Wednesday Sunday school. We did that too, but it wasn't a gigantic like chunk of your everyday life. And like, it still isn't. Like, it's on my mind all the time, but it's not like I'm not going out and doing like church activities, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's just interesting to think about it differently. Because yeah, I mean, you mentioned the rules and stuff. I went to two Pentecostal churches where like they couldn't cut their hair and they couldn't wear pants. And I never considered it strict because I didn't have to do those things because I wasn't Pentecostal. I just went there because like my grandma went there.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that I would have a different view of that if I had like grown up in the Pentecostal church and I wasn't allowed to cut my hair.
The idea of like telling someone that they can't do something is like really irritating to me. Like, I mean, obviously there are rules, like we have like the Ten Commandments and whatever. And we, now that I think about it, I guess we do have a lot of rules. Like, you're not supposed to eat before Mass for at least an hour. Like, you can't eat meat on Fridays during Lent. There are like tons of like tiny rules, but there aren't really any gigantic rules that would interfere with your everyday life. So I guess that's why I think it's not that strict at all.
Can you eat fish?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can eat fish.
Because our school, we always had like this weird special Friday or something where like instead of hamburgers, they served fish.
Yeah, that's where the Catholic is. That's why Pinkney always calls me a mackerel snapper, which like I've never eaten mackerel in my entire life. I don't even know what mackerel is. No clue. Yeah, you can eat fish because Jesus is all about like fish, you know, like that's kind of his spirit animal or whatever.
It's Patronus.
It definitely would be his Patronus. What kind of fish though? I guess whatever fish was like most common in Galilee at that time.
Research for another day.
Yeah, that would be good to know. You answered a lot of these already. What is a familiar and can it be any animal and how do you get one?
So a familiar is an animal that you are very specially bonded with, and they typically help you out with your spell work, or they might absorb like negative energy for you. Like if somebody tries to cast like a curse at you, they might absorb it on your behalf. Mm. If you have like a demon or something in the house, then they might intervene. Not every animal is a familiar. Not every animal, even that you're heavily bonded with, is a familiar. Mm-hmm. I'm extremely bonded to Hannibal, but he is not my familiar. He doesn't have anything to do with my spell work. He doesn't have any like natural inclination to help me with my spell work.
He's useless.
he just lives here.
Just look at him. He's useless.
But there are guides out there that you can read about how to figure out if you think your animal might be a familiar, and they might like always want to be on top of the altar that like you've built in your house, or if you're making like a spell or putting something together, they might always want to be involved in it. And Hannibal's just never like had any interest in any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like you can be extremely bonded to like a single animal and it can still not be your familiar. And you can't really pick one because like they kind of are or they aren't, and like special bond or no, like it's going to kind of naturally unfold or it's not. I don't think I've ever met anybody with a familiar. I think it's extremely rare and an extremely special thing to happen. But it's nothing that you can force. It's nothing that you can like pick out on the internet. Like you can shop for a familiar or something. And not every witch will have one. In fact, like I said, I don't know a single witch with a familiar. I can't name one.
Yeah, that's interesting. It makes sense. It makes sense. So the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is nothing to do with the reality of witchcraft. That's what this conversation has taught me.
No.
Does that make you like irritated when you see like inaccurate depictions of it?
I really have to kind of, if I want to enjoy something, I have to turn off that part of my brain or I'm not going to enjoy it at all. And sometimes I can't turn off that part of my brain. And most of the times I can't turn off that part of my brain, which is why I end up watching so many like ghost shows or witch movies or witch TV shows. And I walk away like hating them because they get everything like wrong. They do like the popular kind of version of everything. And it's like, it's not like I expect it to be like a completely accurate portrayal of everything. But whenever you see them reuse like the same tropes, like over and over and over again, it's like, you clearly learned everything from like only what you've seen on TV other people do.
Right. Like you didn't ask anybody.
It's not like you asked witches and then made your own thing based off of that information. It's like you just watched like popular media and then just made another thing based off of that.
Have you seen the movie The Love Witch?
Only what you've shown me of it.
I've probably asked you a million times. It's one of my like all-time favorite movies, and I do think you would like it. And I'm actually very curious to hear like what your opinion would be about the movie.
I would watch it for you.
It's really good. Like it's aside from like all like its depictions of witchcraft or whatever, I just think it's like a good movie. It's probably not like accurate in any way, but I think it's more respectful than other interpretations that I've seen. It has nothing to do with like Satanism or anything, which is like refreshing. So I think it's a good movie, and I would like to know what you would think about it.
One thing I wish that like movies and stuff would stop doing is putting like everybody in like covens and like groups.
That's what The Love Witch does.
Like I'm used to it. I'm fine with it. And like we have Wicca and we have societies and stuff, but like for the most part, which is like practice independent of one another. Yeah. And I can't name like a single show or movie out there where they don't practice with a group of people.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here trying to think of one and I can't think of one.
Yeah. There's a coven in The Love Witch, but the main character has like her differences with them, and like that's why she's on her own, like it's her choice. So it's interesting, but yeah, that makes sense. That would be kind of annoying.
But yeah, I mean, I'm just, the fact that you said she's on her own is interesting enough to me, because again, like everyone, they're always just part of the group.
Yeah,
that's the whole story, is them being part of the group.
Yeah, she goes to like their little like gatherings and stuff, but she has her like reservations about them, which I think isn't like an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think that does sound interesting.
Yeah, you should watch it tonight. It's on Prime.
I've been sold. Do you want to visit Rome and or see the Pope?
Yes, I have a desperate desire to go to Rome, which is very typical of me. And I would love to see the Pope. I think Pope Francis is pretty cool. I wish I could have seen Pope John Paul II. Yes, I would love to go to Rome. Well, I would love to go on a whole European tour of like holy places, like places where the Virgin Mary has appeared to people, and like shrines of all the different saints that I've talked about. That's my dream trip. But yeah, definitely Rome. I need to go to Rome before I die. Yeah.
We talked about traveling whenever we started this podcast, and then literally the fucking pandemic hit like 2 months.
I know.
The universe really said, no, bitch, you're going to stay exactly where you are.
Oh, honey, that's so cute. Yeah, that's a joke. Someday we will. We will go to the bone church. Okay, yeah, you answered that. You answered that. You answered that. I guess what advice would you give to someone who is curious about practicing witchcraft but doesn't really know like where to start, or maybe has like some kind of like imposter syndrome about it?
Oh, the imposter syndrome is never gonna go away, ever. I've been a witch for like a decade and I'm still like, magic is fake. I am just doing bullshit in my living room. This is all garbage. And like that's never gonna stop happening. And a lot of it is because just everything out there tells you that witchcraft is fake, and people tell you that it's fake, and it just like worms its way into your brain. And so it's never going to stop happening, unfortunately. As for wanting to get into it, being interested in it, I read a lot about it, but like, again, this was a decade ago. I read a lot about it on the internet and read a lot about Wicca to start with, which gave me really mixed feelings about witchcraft, because like it came with like goddesses and stuff. It's like, I don't really know if I want to believe in some goddesses, and I don't really like this whole order of people thing. So my big thing would be YouTube. Like, weirdly enough, is there are a lot of witches out there on YouTube who just talk about their practices, and they do readings, and they show off their cards, and they answer questions that people have. So you could submit questions to them and have them answered by these people. And you will find not only like Wiccans, but you can find just like basic witches, different kinds of witches. You can look up the types of witches that are out there to see what you kind of lean toward. So like hedge witch, kitchen witch, sea witch, intrinsic witch, spirit worker, anything that kind of like speaks to you. And then you could try to go out and find somebody who is one of those things and like listen to them talk and answer questions and be like, oh, this sounds like something that I'm very interested in and would like to learn how to do.
Yeah.
So YouTube, I think, is a very big resource that when I was getting into everything, I didn't really utilize. But I also don't think that like a decade ago, as many people were utilizing YouTube as they are now.
Yeah, I like that. And I like what you said about imposter syndrome, because I mean, that's like faith in general. That's like any kind of faith. Like I feel that way all the time. Like during the Eucharist, I'm like, I have doubts. Like, I'm like, is this miracle that I've been told is happening? Like, is it actually happening? Or am I just like having all this reverence for a tiny piece of bread, you know?
Oh, holy cracker.
Well, it is like, there are those moments where you're like, oh my God, like, have I been basing my entire life off of something that is not real? Like, that's what faith is. Like, that's just a part of it.
That is entirely the way that you feel with witchcraft sometimes, that you just look at like your crystals and your tarot cards and things, and you're like, have I been doing bullshit for like 10 years?
With these literal objects.
Yeah. Are they just objects that do nothing? And I've just told myself that they do something.
Yeah. And then, but on the flip side, you have the moments where you're convinced.
Everything clicks.
Yeah. And then, so I was in mass last night and I had an out of body experience. Like I was debating whether or not I was going to go up to get the Eucharist because I haven't been in so long. You're not supposed to. I was like, I need to go to confession first. I need to do the proper steps. Like, this isn't going to be good. And then I heard, like, I shit you not. I heard a voice in my head that said, you are my child. And like, and I was shaking like, mm-hmm. So shit like that. I'm like, how would I ever think that this is fake? You know?
Yeah. I have times that things click for me. Whenever I went up to see you and we walked around the cemetery, and I couldn't really get a specific read on anything, but I had like 56 pop into my head. I was so disappointed when I walked away and I couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. But when I went home and I looked at my photos like 3 weeks later, there was a grave that I took like 18 pictures of that when I calculated up the woman's age, she died when she was 56 years old.
Mm. Mm. Was it Temperance?
I think her name was Elizabeth.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. One of the jellies, I think, or Stubbs or something.
I think her last name was Stubbs, but yeah. Like the second that I calculated up and I was like, oh, like this, it isn't bullshit to me. Like it feels real when something like that happens.
Yes. And the thing I always come back to is like, okay, if it is fake, then the worst possible outcome would be that I dedicated my life to a cause that I believed in and that made me treat people with respect.
And that is essentially the same thing as witchcraft. It's like, I made spell bottles to make people feel better when their loved ones died and whenever they were feeling sick. It's like, what horrible thing did I do other than try to make other people feel good?
Yes. And so I guess the only, like, people definitely do use like beliefs and faith for like negative things, as we've seen in our podcast. Definitely. That's like the theme of our podcast. But like, if you have good intentions and you do good things, then like the worst possible outcome is that you did good things, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's fine if that's the worst thing you do in life.
Yeah.
We talked last episode, I think it was last episode, about the question of the Pope being like temporal leader over like the leader of the land.
Yeah.
So how exactly does the Pope rank to like you? Do you do what he says, or is his word more like guidelines? I'm kind of just curious like how important he is.
I feel like the Pope's influence in terms of like how society views it was probably at its strongest in like the Dark Ages and sort of has like steadily declined since then. But like there are things that the Pope says that definitely will supersede what like the president says. So like there are laws that the president makes that Catholics cannot abide by. So, I mean, the obvious example would be like abortion is legal in the United States. It's not legal in the Pope's eyes. Like, you know what I mean? So like stuff like that. Like you could legally do it, but like you're not supposed to. So definitely he is the higher authority than like a government leader, but he doesn't exert a crazy amount of practical influence. That's what I would say.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Cause it was always weird to me being from a practice that has literally no like one in charge of it at all. And even when I was, you know, part of like different Protestant churches, like there's nobody in charge of those. It's just whatever dude's preaching at you for like the week. It was always like, it's like, how do you have like a president and also like this weird dude in Rome? How does that work?
It is weird. And like, you know, JFK was our first Catholic president. And like that was the main thing that almost like didn't get him elected because people were like, oh, is he going to follow the Pope? Like,
is Biden Catholic?
Yeah, he is. I don't know if he's practicing or not, though.
I don't either. I feel like I had logged it in my head that it was like JFK and him.
Yeah, I think he's the second I don't think there was anybody in between who was.
Just really, really don't want Catholics to be president.
It goes back all the way to like the founding of the country. Like this was supposed to be a country that had no Catholic influences. Surprise, bitch. We're here. That's why everybody hated immigrants so much. Well, still hates them, but like in the European wave of immigrants.
Yeah, they hated my German them. Family that came over was definitely Catholic.
Yep. Like, we're here. Yeah. I think I only have one more question because I think you answered all the other ones. And this is like a big one, so I saved it for last. But like,
okay.
Why do you think... Who do you think you are? No, just kidding. Why do you think that our podcast actually works? Because when I bring it up to people, number one, they're like, what's a podcast? But number two, they're like, oh, saints and witches, like that they have nothing to do with each other. But yet we find like similarities every single episode. Why do you think that happens?
Two reasons. I think the first we've kind of talked about is that aesthetically we have a lot in common, way more than I would have in common with someone from like the Protestant faith sitting across from me. Mm-hmm. That like the ritual aspects to what we do and how much we care about like the aesthetics of things. In the way that like Protestants don't care about those things, but you know, all of this like candles and blood and all of this stuff, like it's, I can say candles and blood and it applies to both of us.
Yep.
Like it's both of us.
I was like, ah, yes, nodding sagely. Like we do have our candles and our blood.
Mm-hmm. And altars and like all of this stuff. Like we share so many elements. And I mm-hmm. think you see that a lot in certain episodes that we have, that Catholics and witches get conflated a lot, or like Catholics get tried as witches.
Yeah.
Because like they just share so many elements,
mm-hmm.
which kind of ties into the second reason that I think it works is that I think that we like will ask each other like the hard questions and we won't get offended by like what the other person says or asks. I think that if you got offended by jokes that I made or like vice versa, that this absolutely would not work and we would never find any similarities between anything. Or like if you got offended, like how dare you compare your witch to my saint, we would never find similarities.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
or if,
that
like
too.
If I really, really hated Christianity, like some witches do, I don't think we could have like an open dialogue about things either.
Yeah, that's a good point that I didn't really think about, was that like, yeah, if I was like some Catholics where I was like, Harry Potter is the devil, or like, you know, like thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, like we wouldn't be friends, first of all. Mm-hmm. We definitely wouldn't have a podcast. Unless it was some weird, like, court-ordered thing that we had to do. Which I don't think it is. And it's not on my end, so.
No. I've been here for, like, a year and a half. So I could be under house arrest, and this could be part of something. You have no idea.
You know what's so funny that I just thought of is that if we were under house arrest, it would change nothing in our day-to-day lives.
Exactly the same.
I would do very little things different.
Mm-hmm.
I would just get groceries delivered. Like, that's the only change that would happen.
Truly.
And, like, I should be doing that already, probably.
I would save money on gas.
I would save so much money.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have to do to be placed under house arrest is the question.
I could go throw a brick through the police station window.
I think you should do that anyway. I think everybody
it's
should
right
do that.
There.
I think that's a great idea for everybody to do. That's everybody's homework.
Go locate a brick. Go locate a police station.
And make them
A plus B.
Throw them together. That's your spell for the week.
Good vibes.
Yeah. I think those are all my questions. I think I asked them all.
There's at least one I want to ask.
Okay.
Which kind of comes from Hannah. It's an offshoot of something that she asked me to ask you.
Okay.
Do your personal beliefs always align with Catholicism? Because I've always struggled with organized religion because I've found that I never believe even like 90% of like what another person does. And the idea of a bunch of people believing the same thing is a concept that I don't even grasp.
Yes. It's a really good question, and it's something that I think about every single day. I'm constantly examining what I believe and whether or not it aligns with like this thing that I call myself. It's a really hard question, and I think that all modern Catholics are struggling with it all the time because we see the abuses of power. We see the corruption, we see the hatred, like we see all of it. And like, so what are we supposed to do? I think there are like two choices. You can leave something that you have found like truth and comfort and like light in. You can leave it forever. Or you can like stick around and like try to do your part to help make it better. Like, so like, for example, I think that gay people should get married. Like, I think that a woman should control her own body. I think, you know, like I have a very liberal mindset, but at the same time, I have found like so much truth personally in my religion that I know I would never find in any other religion. So I can't leave it. So I think it's just like you really do have to personally examine what you feel and believe all the time. Like, don't just do it because you feel like you have to. Don't just do it because you did it since you were a kid. Like, really question what you think, and also like call other people out. Like, your racist aunt, remind her that, like, okay, Jesus gave us one commandment. And it was to love your neighbor. If we aren't doing that, then we're not doing anything. Like, that's what we should be doing. And Jesus will figure the other things out. So that's what I think. And I know it's not a perfect answer. And I know that there are lots of bad things that the church has caused in history and is still causing today. And I really do struggle with that, like, deeply.
I think yeah. It's a good answer, though, because like if everybody who disagreed with Catholicism in any slight way left it, then you're just going to have this version of the religion that does all of these things still and is never checked on them. And then all of these people who are off doing their own thing. But if you have
people, well, that is what happened. But yeah,
if you do have some people who stay and they stick around, then there's like hope that things will change.
Yes. And I think things have changed like very slowly and are still changing and evolving. It's just that like you're right. So many young people just look at the bad and they say, that's not for me, which is totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. I think everybody just needs to just figure it out for themselves. You can't do something just because you're told to.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know. Yeah. And that is what happened. Like, some people saw bad things happening and they left. Like, you know, like Martin Luther didn't want to start his own religion. He just pointed out bad things that were happening. Like, that was his goal. And like, it's a good thing he fucking did. Because like that made like really positive changes. Like, we need to be doing that. We need to be holding people accountable and trying to change things for the better.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to be doing. And I also liked what you said about like constantly like examining things, because even as a witch, that's something that you have to do, because like we don't have like this guide of like what we should believe. So we have to constantly examine what we think we believe. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm going to fall into this rut of believing the same things that I did 10 years ago and never, ever becoming like better as a person. And my faith will never, ever develop. And like who I am and what I believe has absolutely developed over like the last 10 plus years, because I'm constantly sitting down and challenging what I think about things. And I think you have to do that, like no matter like what you're part of, whether you're Christian, yes, whether you're a witch, whether you're anything, you have to seriously examine what you think and what you believe.
And some people don't. Some people never do that, which like blows my mind, because how... like, how is that even possible, where you never have moments where you're like, oh my God, is my entire life a lie? Like, how do you not have those moments? Some people, it is crazy to me. I learned this, I think I first learned this in college, like undergrad, but like some people truly do not reflect. Like, it's just not so something that they do.
I reflect like every minute of every day on myself.
Yeah, to the point it's where it's pretty. Like, no, it's like crippling. Yes. How much I reflect.
I make any progress, any forward momentum is amazing.
I cannot stop reflecting. I wish I could. Mm-hmm. I'm always like, oh my God, what have I done? Who am I? It's like so scary. Oh, good times.
Anyway, those were all of my big questions.
Okay.
I don't really think I need to ask the rest of them. One of them is just a joke completely.
What is it?
I was watching Angels and Demons. I told you that I was watching Angels and Demons again.
Yeah.
Because I love that movie. Mm-hmm. And I just wrote down, am I going to go to hell for thinking that priest cassocks are hot?
I don't think so. I also think they're hot. So
why are they so hot? They have no business being attractive.
We love a man in uniform.
Is that what it is?
I think so. For me, it is, because I'll see like construction workers and I'm like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like even like postal workers with their short shorts. I'm like, something about it. That satchel of letters that they deliver.
Oh, Timothy, they're your short shorts.
Beautiful. His thigh hairs. Come on. I think it is a man in uniform, but I see what you're saying, and I agree.
It is definitely not a factor in why I watch that movie so often. Definitely not. Nothing to do with it.
There's a hot priest in the show Dairy Girls. Have you seen that show?
It's amazing. No, but I'm adding it to my list.
In one of the episodes, he comes in, everybody is like obsessed with him. Like all the schoolgirls are like flirting with him. It's amazing.
Yeah, if you know of anything with a hot priest in it, just let me know, because it gets pushed to the top of my watch list.
Yeah, I think it's season one, episode 3 or something.
Why do you have that memorized?
I don't know, because it's only there are only 6 episodes a season, and I've watched them so many times that I can keep track of them. But
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was productive.
I had a good time.
I did too. I learned a lot of things.
Yeah, me too. I feel good about it.
And hopefully, listeners, you have learned something either about Catholicism or witchcraft or both.
If you have more questions that we didn't answer, you can email them to us at saintsandwitchespodcast@gmail.com. You could DM us on Instagram or Twitter. And we'll probably do another one of these episodes at some point in the future where we can answer your questions, or we can just bring them up in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I don't know. I have no idea what we're going to put on Instagram this go around.
Maybe we could go ahead.
I was gonna say, I've got new tarot cards. I'll show those off.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah, we can do like props that we talked about, like objects that we talked about.
Crystals, tarot cards,
a rosary.
Yes.
Hannibal.
Full confession booth.
A full confession booth that I have in my home somewhere for some reason. The beer I was drinking. Everything. Yeah, and we will see you next time. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled programming, and
until then,
thanks be to God.
Blessed be.